I want to parent in a way that leads my children to recognize and trust the Lord. I have no idea how to do that except to take what the Lord has planted in me and give the fruit of it to my children. After all, tiny seeds grow mighty trees. Welcome to the Seeds and Trees Podcast. You know, one of the things that's so funny about being a mom is that I have a degree and a level and a maturity of walking with the Lord, but I'm raising these little creatures that are just getting to know Him. My son and I this afternoon kind of got into a heated argument over what I expect of him. And really it was over feeding pets and just remembering, like, the pet has to eat every day, sugar. Like, you can't just leave it without. And he came back at me and said, well, I'm only 10. And I said, right, but you assured me when we got this pet that you were super thrilled and excited and it would be your number one priority for the rest of your life to make sure that this was taken care of and that this wouldn't fall on anybody else in the house, that this was just going to fall on you. And he got real mad, and even though he's small, he's really strong, and he had a 40-pound bag of feed that I had helped sort of hoist onto his shoulder. Daddy wasn't around. He was mowing the lawn, and so here we were, right, with the bag of feed. And so he's kind of hollering at me while he walks into the backyard to refresh the food container and feed the pet and the whole deal. And when I told him, you said that this is what you wanted to do. So you're doing the thing that you assured me that you were responsible enough for and that you wanted to do. Like, you asked for this. He got so upset, and he could be a little fiery, which I don't mind because he gets it honestly. He throws down the 40-pound bag of feed, and I was sure that it was going to bust all over. And the look on my face was like, are you kidding me right now? And that was honestly the feeling inside of me. And he put his hands out to just stop whatever reaction I was about to have. And he was like, would you just listen to me for a second? And he lists all of what seems to him as the enormous responsibilities that he's supposed to have, or that he does have, that he feels is unjust for him to have because, well, the context of the story really is that he was down at his friend's house and I texted the mom and said, could you please send him home? I just realized that he has not finished his chores. So he comes home already like in a fuss because I think the mom had mentioned, your mom says you have some things to do at home, so you have to go home now. And I really am unrelenting about this. I personally feel like until you finish all your responsibilities, you really don't have freedoms to go and do anything else. And I want to raise my children the way that their life is going to be when they grow up. So if their life is going to be, hey, you can't do this, you don't have the freedom to do this yet, because that's what as adults we have, then that's how I'm going to raise them as children. I don't want, you know, adulthood to just kick them in the throat and they're like, what kind of a reality is this? I want them to be used to having all of these responsibilities. Of course, my husband and I are very careful to not overwhelm them with responsibilities, see what their capacity is, you know, walk in wisdom with those things. But here we are with the food bag on the ground. It has not spilled out, thank goodness. So I saved myself that little reaction. I swallowed that. And he put his hands out so that I wouldn't have a reaction. Like, he's like, I know what you're about to say. And he looks at me, he's like, I'm just mad and it's got to come out somehow. And I realized, yeah, it does have to come out somehow. But he's saved. He has the fullness of the Holy Spirit inside of him. And so I got closer to him and I softened my voice because I needed to calm down and he needed to calm down. And I said, listen, I understand that you're mad, but it doesn't come out of you like this. This is like in our anger, we don't sin. It doesn't come out of us like this. And he was like, this is really easy for you to talk about. But like, again, I'm only 10 and I don't have the Holy Spirit like you have the Holy Spirit. And I thought, my gosh, what have I been saying to this child for the last 10 years? If there was anything that I was going to teach him, it would be that now that he is saved, that the fullness of God dwells in him. And I feel positive that I've said it 100 times, but I moved closer to him and I said, please look at me. Please look at me. And of course he looked at the trees and he looked at the grass and he looked at the side of the house. You know, I mean, like, he wasn't going to look at anywhere except at me. So I'm trying to be patient and draw him in. And I put my little hands on his cheeks and I said, sugar, you have as big of a Holy Spirit in you as I have. You have the total fullness of it. I don't have any more than you do. And he's like, well, it's different for you. And I was like, why? And he goes, because you understand all of it, which honestly, I felt good about it. I was like, thank you. Thank you that you think I understand all of it. But the thing is that I don't. But the process of me growing up in the Lord feels really similar to what he was expressing. There are times where I want to throw the responsibility down, throw the feedback down, and be like, I do not know how to walk fully in you right now, Lord. I do not get how you are going to fix, handle, or anything. Or it feels like you are requiring that I respond to this person or respond to this situation or that I remain faithful in whatever it is. And I'm mad about it. And I myself am growing in how to receive and let the Holy Spirit's life flow out of me the way that he is. And so in that moment, I just felt teary-eyed in front of him and got emotional. And I was like, I promise you that the only thing that you are learning is how to pull more on the Lord. You just need to learn to pull harder on him. His fullness is in you. You're just trying to figure out how it comes out. And that means getting angry and maybe throwing the feedback down. And then you and I, like, talk this through. But, like, I'm not afraid of your anger. And I don't want you to be afraid of mine, even though we're at different stages of just pulling on the Holy Spirit. Pulling on him for self-control. Pulling on him for, even in, like, the middle of this junk, pulling on him for joy and not losing it. And he was like nodded, you know, and I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, all right, that's enough preaching for the day, mom, you know, type of a thing. And he picks the feedback up and he just starts walking away. And I call after and I'm like, I'm with you on this. Like, I love you. I'm with you. Like, we're in the same journey together. We're in the same battle together. He calls back over his shoulder and he goes, I mean, maybe. Totally unconvinced. And in that, just what the picture of motherhood is like, it's just like, I'm pouring myself out to you right now. I'm reassuring you of everything that Scripture has reassured me of, that Holy Spirit has planted in me and has grown in me, and I'm pouring it out to you. And they just look at us like, I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm not even sure we're on the same page. I'm not even sure we're on the same team. And that's just what it's like around here a lot of the time. I don't know how, but I got a bunch of strong-willed children. And I'm just pulling on the Holy Spirit as hard as I can to pour out something good and useful and true to them and something that matters. But I was reminded in our conversation today that really, or, you know, my conversation with my son today, that really what I want this podcast to look like, and really what I want you and I, me as I listen to the Lord, you as you listen to anything worthy that I might say, that really what I want us to understand is that we're both pressed in to listening to the Word of God. And the Word of God is he himself, the Christ. It's our Messiah. It's, Lord, what do you want me to say in this moment? Lord, how do I pour out to my kid right now? Because I'd really just like to holler at him for, first of all, being irresponsible or not being the pet. And second of all, now they're irresponsible, throwing the feet on the ground. It could literally just splatter everywhere. And then, like, who wants to pick up all these pellets, you know? And, like, that would be my natural, like, get your act together. Like, pull it up, son. Come on, let's go. Let's get the job done. You're welcome to go play with your friends again. But, like, the job has to get done. But then in the moment, having he who is the Word speak to you and go, no, You need to show him that you are just like him, that what he has in him is the same thing that you also have in you. But it's also the thing that both of you desperately need to sort of break down any kind of separation between us, just because I'm the adult and he's the child, but to show again, man, I need him as much as you need him. Sometimes I'm not sure what I'm listening for in the middle of a heated argument, because I don't always pull and listen. And, you know, sometimes I do really react and respond just out of annoyance, out of frustration, after like, how many times does this have to be said? How many times does the same lesson have to be learned? I mean, I really can lose it on stuff like that. I guess I don't like repetition. I'm like one of those people where if you like sit next to me and you click a pen, like click, 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 or you're like tapping something over and over, I feel like, oh my gosh, I'm about to explode on this person right now, because it's the, like, a constant noise, a constant repetition. I really freak. Well, that's probably the thing that I go to the Lord about myself, is like, when is there fruit, Lord? Like, we've been teaching one of them to chew with their mouth closed for a really long time now. So like, when does just this little habit going, let alone, you know, the deeper things of life, the more consistent things that we really want them to pull on the Lord for. So if you can't even get your kid to chew with their mouth closed, and then at the same time, you're teaching them to pull on the Holy Spirit, like, those are two different functions within the body. One, right? Like, one's like muscle memory, and then the other one is like the deepest parts of your soul need the Lord, and you're trying to pull on them, but you're not even the one that chews with your mouth closed. And so as a parent, it's, I just go to the Lord and I'm like, how many times, like, how often do we do this? When is there some kind of something that comes out of this? And I don't know. I don't have an answer. I think it's super different for every personality and everything like that. But the thing that Jesus reminds me of, the thing that Holy Spirit inside of me reminds me of all the time, is that there is the spoken word of God. So that when Scripture doesn't tell me what to do, when everybody's mad, and, you know, things are getting thrown and tears are coming out and I'm getting blamed for giving responsibility that was asked for, and I feel like I need to defend myself and that kind of thing, it's that we have a risen and ascended Savior. It's that our Jesus, our Messiah, the only reason we have any hope at all, is alive. Teaching my kids about the resurrection, teaching my kids that they have a God who is alive, which is different than every other religion on the face of the planet, every other idea that has ever been thought up, and is specifically different than the idea that we have everything, you know, that we need within us, that we have all of the answers of the universe within us, that we can pull from a divine source that is within us. That's very different than knowing that Holy Spirit resides in us and we pull on Him who is the source. That's very different than me pulling on myself. So then as a mom, I've got to be reminded that when I'm pulling on my kid, come in this direction, come in the way of life, see your, like, and you know, I don't want them to just be like, okay, I have to get up and do my responsibilities. Like, I want their heart to change. I want them to really have, you know, the belief and the action of, I work unto the Lord and not to men, right? Because it's from the Lord that we receive the reward of our inheritance. I mean, I feel like I say that four times a day to them. I don't really. Again, repetition bothers me, so I can bother myself when I preach the same things over and over to my kids. But that constant pouring into them and waiting to see the fruit, I get reminded by the Lord that those are the seeds that He's sowing within me. Those are the things that are substantial within me as well, is the seed that He sowed, that He reassured me over and over and over. is the thing that will come to fruition. That he sowed something in me, and then he washes my mind continually, continually, continually in his word, so that some fruit can come forth, so that the seed that is sown can be watered and can grow into something. That he is not afraid of repetition with me. He is not afraid of deeply sowing something in me and then reminding me that he is both the seed himself, right? The seed is the word, and the word is Jesus. So he himself is the seed. He himself is the water. Like the Jesus is the word, and then the water is the logos. And then any fruit that comes from it is the rhema. That, those are Greek words, logos and rhema, for word, spoken word. And then like divinely written word is logos. And then divinely spoken word, something that's spoken right to you in the moment, is rhema. And that's always what Jesus talked about, that he lives off of the rhema of God. That like when he's talking to the enemy in the desert, and Satan is tempting him and saying, like, why don't you turn these rocks into bread? And he says, I don't live by bread alone. I live by every word that comes from God. He's talking about the rhema word is what's used in that context there. The spoken word. I think that's in Matthew 4, if you want to go look it up. Then in John 17, and I think it's in 12 and 14. It's in all of those teens in John's, in the book of John, excuse me, that Jesus is always saying about what he is hearing, what he is saying of the Father. I only say the things that the Lord tells me to say. I only do what I see my Father do. The root of that word is also that Greek word rhema. So it seems to come right, like what Jesus does on earth seems to come right from the sovereignty of the Father. It is a direct spoken word to his Son from the Father, from the Most High God, from Elohim, right to the Son, so that the Son can walk it out and can speak it to the disciples. But then the word that we call, like, the word of God is living and active. That's the logos word. That is the written word. But then in Genesis 1 and in John 1, where John says, like, the in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And then in Genesis as well. Now, Genesis, of course, was written in Hebrew, but that has to do with Jesus being the logos. That Jesus is the one who speaks and who has become creation. So he speaks like reality and it's become creation. But then he also speaks and it has become our scripture to us. Well, I can teach my kids as much scripture as I want to, and I can know as much scripture as I want to. But like when the feedback hits the ground, there isn't a scripture for this moment. There's values and there's principles, and that's wonderful. But like, I need to know what to say to this kid with these emotions and this amount of anger when I got my own stuff rising up inside of me. I need to know what to say right now. See, now, and that's rhema. But that is really interesting too. So 2 Peter 3 talks about how we need to be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets. Now, being mindful of the words that were spoken, that Greek word of word, if you don't mind me repeating myself 100 times, is the word rhema. So we know that the Old Testament prophets, what they were receiving when the Holy Spirit would fall on them, the word of the Lord would come to them, that kind of a thing, that word is the root, or is described in the New Testament as rhema, that they're getting that straight from the sovereign God. They're getting that that's landing on them and coming right out of them. And of course, we live in a new covenant now, so we have the Holy Spirit within us. So the Holy Spirit doesn't land on us as much anymore. Although I think there's really a lot of parts, you know, from Acts and 1 Corinthians that we could say that the Holy Spirit really does come upon us and in different kinds of things. And one of those being words, but that now the Holy Spirit is rising up within us with rhema. So we have to be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the prophets. And Peter uses the word rhema for that. They were receiving rhema, inspired word for that specific situation, for that specific circumstance. So when I'm standing in front of my angry son, who I'm not wanting to make more angry, who I'm not wanting to condemn or shame, who I'm wanting to go, okay, listen, sugar, in the middle of this is hope. In the middle of this is joy. But you got to pull it up. You got to pull from him on it. Pull from Holy Spirit, I mean, on it. You got to receive it naturally so that that is the thing that comes out of you. Because that's the thing that answers the anger. Not because we're trying to stuff the anger down. That's not at all what I want to parent. But because that's the thing that will answer the anger. That's the thing that will satisfy the anger. That's the thing that will displace it. Then we go on later, and in Hebrews 1, the way that Jesus himself is described, where it says like he's the brightness of his glory. He's this express image of the person of the Father, that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Him upholding all things, his creativeness in the logos of the word is also the rhema of the word. So here we are in Hebrews being assured that who Jesus was receiving from on earth, who he was listening to, who he was always enacting as the express image of God was the rhema, the in the moment circumstance of the Father speaking to him and being like, this is what we're going to interject into this moment. This is the life-giving power of this moment. This is what brings aliveness into this moment is rhema. So Jesus himself as the person starts off as the logos in Genesis 1. Then the way that everything is described as he falls on to the word comes, because remember from John 1:1, he himself is the word. So then as he himself falls on the prophets in the Old Testament, we know that he's falling for those specific circumstances. So he is rhema in those circumstances. But now we have the completed canon of scripture, which is referred to over and over as the logos, the inspired word. It does divide our soul and spirit. It is profitable for teaching and rebuking. But he himself is the rhema. And it's his spirit now that we have living with inside of us. So when I teach my children that Jesus is resurrected, I start with, he's alive and you can hear him. And this is what, and going through with them, training them what his voice sounds like, how to listen to his voice, what all of those voices are, which I hope we have a lot of time on this podcast to go through. But in the middle of it, to stop in the middle of an angry moment and say, pull on him. What's he saying right now? And then the back office of what's going on in me as the parent is that I first have to bend my knee and be humble to pull on him, so that I can lead my sons in pulling on the Lord. What he's first done in me, I have to pass on. I'm just grateful that he's done anything in me at all. Now, I'm not saying that because like, woe is me, but you know, he works in us to will and to do. So like the fact that I even want to listen to him, that I even have a heart for God, he willed in me. I think that's Philippians 2. And then he does the work in me. I mean, I'm completely reliant on him as you are as well. But isn't that just a gift to be able to share to our kids as well, that I am as desperate for him as you are. And we walk this out together with he who started as the Logos, then came to earth to be born of a woman, received rhema for 33 years, received inspired word for 33 years, and now he himself has sent his spirit to dwell in us. And what comes up out of us, right, the rivers of living water that come up out of us are his rhema as well. Sometimes I feel like I'm messing everything up. And then sometimes I think, man, you have equipped me so well for this job, Lord. How could I ever mess it up? Because you're enough. So as long as I just let you pour out of me, not that everything's going to go perfect, but what really, what could go wrong? He really is sufficient in all things. We'll see you next time. Thank you.